Welcome to the First Church Podcast, a weekly podcast of messages from the First Church of Christ in Altoona, Pennsylvania.
Good to see you here today. We're glad that you have chosen to join us today. I want to welcome you. How many college students do we have? Raise your hand if you're a college student. Yeah, I got one, two. There was a whole bunch here first service. This is the first Sunday back for our college students, and I got a proposition for you, okay? I'd like to treat you to lunch. If you're a college student here today, Arlene and I are going to go to Pizza Hut right after church this morning, about 12:30. Lunch is on her, okay? So if you're in college, any of the local or whatever colleges of any kind, just meet us at Pizza Hut for lunch, and we're going to treat you, okay? I'd like to get to know you a little bit and share with you about the church. And we'll have a good lunch together. All right? All right. So meet us down there at 12:30 for that. All right. I want to start out here. I want to show you a picture here. Is it going? Can it go? No? Okay. How many of you ever been to Las Vegas? Raise your hand. You know, I was amazed. 9 out of 10 people first service had been to Vegas. That just like blew me away, you know? My mother went to Vegas some years ago. That's a story in and of itself, with her sisters. And she told me, she said, "John, all I could think of was that Jesus was going to come back and he's going to find me in Las Vegas." I've never been there, but I want to go sometime. So here, I want to show you. I want to do a little demonstration here. Okay, got a couple of dice here from Vegas, all right? I need somebody to help me, a volunteer to help me for this little demonstration. Who wants to help me here? Tessa, will you help me? Come up. Bring Drew with you, actually. Okay, Drew, you come up too. Okay, we need both of you. Let's give them a hand. You know, I always wanted to be in Vegas and invite somebody up on stage, so we're just going to pretend, okay? You guys can stand right there. All right, now. I know, and I bet you know this too, Tessa, if you're in Vegas and you're playing craps, if you roll double ones, snake eyes, right? That's a good hand, right? Or if you roll a seven, let's see if I'm smart enough to find that, okay? Lucky seven, right? That's a really good hand. Or if you roll two sixes, which, you know what that's called? No. It's called box cars, okay? I've done my research on this, okay? All right? So here's the thing, all right? I'm going to let you roll these dice, and if you roll snake eyes or lucky seven or double sixes, which is box cars, I'm going to give you a $25 Fandango gift card. Okay? That's going to be that, all right? But if you don't roll any of those, because see, the whole point of this, life is sometimes like a roll of the dice, isn't it? Okay? You hold those, and if you roll snake eyes, lucky seven or box cars, you're going to get a $25 gift card to Fandango. But if you don't, I'm going to hit Drew with a pie. Okay? So, and I've come prepared. Okay? All right. Isn't this fun? Okay. All right, so here you go. Now, life is like a roll of the dice. Sometimes you win, sometimes you don't. Okay, so Tessa's going to roll the dice, and we'll let you know what it is. And if it's a snake eyes, a seven, or box cars, they're going to get this. But I really hope she doesn't, because I'm going to hit Drew with this coconut cream pie, which happens to be my favorite, and I thought that I would just use that for him. So anytime you're ready, you go right ahead. Oh. She rolled a six, okay? All right, so hey, I'm a man of my word. This is Zach in here. And, okay, Drew. All right, it's all right here. All right. You're all going to count to three, okay? And he's going to close his eyes. Okay, ready? Go. One, two, three. Oh, no, I won't do that to you, man. I wouldn't dare do that to you. Here's what I'm going to do, though, okay? Here. This is, the pie's going to go in the refrigerator back there, and you can pick that up after church and take that home, okay? And I'm going to give you the card anyway, Tessa. Okay? Hey, you guys, hey, come, can you take this back? Oh, that was fun. You know, that was all based on whether or not somebody volunteered that I wanted to hit a pie with. So it just happens that I didn't want to hit a pie with them. But boy, if that would have been Maury and Pam LaRook, I would have just laid right into him with that. You know, sometimes that's life, isn't it? Life is like a roll of the dice. Sometimes we're lucky, most times we're not. Sometimes we could win a massive windfall, and other times we can experience a colossal disaster. It all seems like a coincidence, doesn't it? We just roll the dice. In the book of Esther, and if you read chapter 20 of the story today, you'll know this is true. In the book of Esther, it seems like the destiny of the Jews is subject to a roll of the dice. It seems like that Esther's life is just hit or miss. It seems like that the conditions that the Jews found them in were hit or miss. It seems like that, you know, one minute things were going great, the next minute they were going to be annihilated and totally destroyed as an entire people and a nation. It all just seems like a roll of the dice. And sometimes I bet you, like myself, we get up in the morning and life feels like that. We feel like, and we wonder, am I going to be lucky today and things turn out okay? Or am I going to roll the dice and it doesn't work out and things just get worse? The story of Esther teaches us how life is not just a series of accidents, not just a series of coincidences, but that life is orchestrated by the God in heaven who loves us. You know, has it ever just occurred to you that nothing ever just occurs to God? I mean, sometimes we think that life is so random, is such a coincidence that things just happen. And the story of Esther shows us that is not true. That God is at work unveiling and orchestrating His marvelous story, and we are a part of it. Now, if you read the story this week, you read about four different people that are kind of the main characters in this story. Now, the people are still in the Babylonian captivity. Okay, it's late in the Babylonian captivity, and they're in a city. These folks are in a city called Susa, and we are introduced to these people. You remember Haman? If you ever have a kid, don't name him Haman. You know, this dude was just bad, wasn't he? I mean, he was evil. He was conniving. The only thing that he hated more than the Jews was Mordecai in particular. He was his mortal enemy. And because Mordecai would not bow down to him, he wanted to destroy Mordecai and destroy all of the Jewish people. You had the king. You had King Xerxes. Somebody asked me this past week. They actually personally asked me, said, Pastor, I'm reading the story. How do you pronounce this king's name? Well, you can just call him King X if you want to. But it's called Xerxes, King Xerxes. And his part in the story was that he had a queen. Her name was Vashti. And she refused to come to him when he said come, and therefore she was relieved of her queenly duties and was banished, never to come into the presence of the king again. All of a sudden, they needed a new queen, so he decided that he was going to bring a lot of the young beautiful virgins into his court, and he was going to choose a new king. And lo and behold, we read about Mordecai, who desires for his niece, really, Esther, to become the queen, and she does. Now, Mordecai is an interesting character because he cared for this young girl after her parents had died. She had no mother, she had no father, she had no one, and he cared for her, and evidently he gave her a really good life. And then she got the eye of the king. And she became the queen of the whole land because of Mordecai's help to her. So we have these four people. We got this evil bad guy named Haman. We got this this King Xerxes, and if you read about King X, you'll see that he threw lavish parties for his entire kingdom. You know, and he just opened up the royal palace and opened up the vats of wine and just let everybody just have a great time. He was quite a party guy. And then you got this Jewish guy, Mordecai, who was actually from the tribe of Benjamin, who found himself in this particular place. He thwarted an assassination attempt against the king and was elevated and looked upon with favor because Queen Esther had told the king what he had done, okay? Which infuriated evil Haman that much more. And what he did was that he rolled the dice, and it literally says that he rolled the dice and came up with this edict to exterminate all of the Jews in all 127 provinces on a particular date. The date came up was Adar the 13th, which was March. And here's the thing, folks. Saul was told to destroy the Amalekites, but he disobeyed God and he didn't. They were the first people to obstruct Israel from entering the promised land, and Haman was an Amalekite. And Haman carried this grudge against the Jews and held this high position in the Persian Empire under King X. And Haman cast lots. He rolled the dice, the Pur and the Purim. And it came up to that they determined they were going to exterminate the Jews on Adar the 13th, which is March. And then Esther and Mordecai come back into the story. And they decide, Mordecai decides that Queen Esther may very well be in the place that she is for this very moment to save her people from annihilation. Now think about this, folks. If all of the Jews were killed, God wouldn't be able to keep his promise to Abraham. God wouldn't be able to do what he said that he would do. But it's no coincidence that Esther finds herself at this particular moment, at this particular place. Mordecai convinces Esther to appeal to the king to stop the genocide of the Jews. And the appeal could lead to Esther's life, because Esther even says to Mordecai, you remember what happened to Queen Vashti? When she did not come, when the queen said, come, I'm not allowed to go into the presence of the king uninvited. And it's been over 30 days since he's reached out to me. And she was afraid for her own life. But yet Mordecai impressed upon her that they were all going to die if she didn't intervene and do something. Now the story is really interesting at this point, because Haman is exposed for the fraud and the evil person that he is. But it's really interesting how it happens, because Esther invites the king and Haman to a party that she was going to be throwing, and the king said to her, hey, queen, whatever you want, up to half of everything in my kingdom, just ask and you can have it. And she says, well, come to this party tomorrow and I will divulge to the king what it is that I desire. And lo and behold, they come to the party. And we see there that that night, Xerxes can't sleep. So he reads that Mordecai, a Jew, had saved him from a plot to assassinate, an assassination plot. And all of a sudden he starts planning that they're going to honor Mordecai. And you can imagine how this made Haman feel. Xerxes tells Haman he wants to honor a man, and Haman thinks that the king has him in mind. But little does he know that the hero was going to be Mordecai instead. And Haman has to honor Mordecai by leading him as a hero through the city and putting a robe on his back and sitting him on a horse that belonged and had been ridden by the king himself. And then at this private dinner arranged by Esther, Haman is exposed as the one who seeks to have all the Jews killed. And he in turn is executed on the very pole, the 75-foot pole that he had planned to kill Mordecai on. And his life is over. And then he issues a decree, and all of the people of Israel are saved from extermination. The Jews prevail. They declare Adar, the 13th March, as the feast of Purim, the festival of the dice, to commemorate what was going to happen to them and how God overcame that. Now, here's the point. What is it about that story that applies to your life and mine? Well, let's start in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 33. It says there that the lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. In other words, there are no coincidences with God. The things that we think are happenstance, are chance, are luck, they're not. That God is behind the scenes orchestrating His overall plan, His overall story. The lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. You see, folks, Proverbs 16 tells us that God controls the roll of the dice. God's name is not mentioned in the book of Esther, but His behind-the-scene presence guides all that seems to be happening, not by coincidence, but by providence. Now, you fast forward to today. Colossians chapter 2, verse 16 and 17 says, "Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. They are a shadow of the things that were to come." Now think about this. Before I give you the rest of that verse, think about this. Because they had this feast, the feast of the dice, the feast of the roll of the dice. Thankful that they were not exterminated. Thankful that they did not lose their life. A lot of times people today, they look at life kind of that same way. And as Christians, folks, we should look at life as something very different. Let me give you the rest of this verse. "Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ Jesus." Listen, folks, that's what's different for me and you. We learn from this story. We learn from adding the work of Jesus Christ into this story. We learn that we do not have to be afraid in life. I mean, think about it, folks. What are you afraid of? Matter of fact, just take a minute and name your fears. I put quite a few of them here on this list. You know, what are you afraid of? Afraid of illness? Afraid of your family breaking down? Afraid of wayward children, afraid of aging or being alone, depression, loss of home, loss of job, not enough money. I mean, you name it. Afraid of death. I had a friend of mine tell me not too awful long ago, he said, "Pastor John, I need some help with not being afraid of dying." And you know what? We all do, don't we? I had a gentleman not too long ago. I was just conversing with him. I'd never met him before. And I said, "Hey, have you lived here your whole life?" And he said, "Well, not yet." I said, "Okay." And he said, "You know, we're all going to be dead before we know it." That's what he's come back. You know, and it's true, isn't it? I mean, all of us have these fears, and they all seem so rational. But God speaks to all of our fears. I mean, if you think about this particular story here, you had Haman. He was the descendant of the Amalekites. He happens to live in Susa and be the king's right-hand man. He literally rolls the dice to choose the date for the extermination of the Jews. I mean, do you think that it was a coincidence that he lived there and that he was able to do this? I mean, think about it. Esther is chosen to try out to be queen, and she makes it. A young Jewish girl becomes queen. You think that's a coincidence at this particular time? It's so much not a coincidence that Mordecai said to her when they were talking about what was going to happen to their people, he said when she was saying, "Listen, I can't go to the king. He could kill me. He could do to me like he did to the previous queen." And he said to her, he said, Esther, you may be alive today for this very thing. This may be why you are alive today. I mean, she happens to be Jewish. She happens to be related to Mordecai, Haman's nemesis. I mean, the night Haman builds a pole upon which to impale Mordecai is the night the king can't sleep. Haman recommends a lavish plan to honor someone, thinking that someone is himself, when actually it's Mordecai. Haman has to carry that out. You think that's a coincidence? I mean, right at the moment Haman stumbles into Queen Esther as he is pleading for his life, the king walks in and it appears as if he's in making an advance toward toward the queen. He's impaled on the pole that he intended for Mordecai. You think all of these things were just coincidences? No. They weren't coincidences because Mordecai and Esther was able to face their fears. Mordecai and Esther was able to be courageous in the face of extreme situations. So their message to us today is to take a courageous stand. I mean, to walk through life hand in hand with our God, with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and to make sure that what we do there is simply what He wants us to do there, that we are trusting in Him no matter what we face in this life. Do it with courage. A few years ago, I was playing golf with some friends down in Myrtle Beach. And we were on this one particular course, and there was an alligator. It was like 27 feet long laying on the bank. It looked that big. It probably wasn't, but it looked that big. And I happened to hit my ball over there, and my ball came to rest about from here to that front chair from that alligator. Okay, now my friends thought it would be really interesting for me because I had to turn my back to the alligator to hit my golf ball. And every time I would turn around, they would goose me. Or they would act like it was coming after me. And needless to say, when I hit that ball, it went about 2 feet. And it was like, you know, why are we so afraid? Well, sometimes it's because there's things to be afraid of. But the Bible teaches us that we really don't have to be afraid of anything because God is with us. Even when terrible things are on the horizon, that we can trust in God. We learned a couple of weeks ago with Daniel and his friends, we may end up in a fiery furnace. God may save us and He may not, but if He doesn't, we've still got the promise of eternity. We're going to be thrown in a lion's den, and we may be devoured by the lions, or God may close the mouth of the lions. And whichever, we can still honor and praise Him. And today, Esther teaches us, and Mordecai teaches us, that we don't have to be afraid, that we can face life with courage and faith in God. You know, if there's one thing I know about rolling the dice, when you win, what do? I mean, have you ever been in the presence of somebody that wins something, you know, gambling or whatever, and when they roll the dice and they win, what do? They cheer, right? Or when they roll the dice and they lose, what do? You don't have to see the dice, do you? You just have to hear their expression. So here's what I want to do today. I want you to help me with an interaction and an interactive way to close our time together. When you hear the word sin, that word should make you want to hiss and boo. Here, let's try it. Sin. Oh, my goodness. You guys need some help, okay? You know, when you hear the word Satan, that word should make you want to boo and hiss. Let's try it again. Do it better. Satan. There you go. You know, when you hear the word death, that word should make you want to boo and hiss. Death. But when you win, when you hear the word Jesus Christ, that should make you want to celebrate. When you hear the name Jesus Christ, So here's what I want to do, okay? I want to read you a passage of Scripture. And in this passage of Scripture, you're going to hear those words, and I want you to help me, okay? Let's just do, okay, here we go. You ready? Here it is, Romans chapter 8, and a little bit from Philippians as well. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life has set me free from the law of sin and death. What shall separate us from the love of Christ? For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor Satan, nor anything present, nor the future, nor any powers, neither the height nor the depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate me from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ, our Lord. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I can do all things through Christ. I can do all things through Christ. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Listen, folks, we win because God will help us win. He can help you. He can help me overcome our fears with courage. You know, the book of Romans chapter 8 also says that all things work together for good to those that love Him, to those that are called according to His purpose. So folks, all things work to good. That doesn't mean all things are good, but all things can work to good. It did for them. It did for Esther. It did for Mordecai. It did for all the Jews. And it will for us as well. Let's pray. Father, I know that there are people here this morning, right now, in this place of worship, who are experiencing some extreme fears. Fears, Lord, about their life, about their family, about their children, about their jobs, about their finances, about their health. And I pray that today, Lord, that this story of Esther would teach us how we respond to those fears with faith and courage, knowing, God, that we are a part of Your upper story and that wonderful upper story is going to unfold. It's going to be realized. And Father, one day we will be with You for all of eternity. So God, until that day comes, give us faith and courage to live our life, Lord, even in the face of extreme opposition. And Lord, may we honor You, our King and our Father in heaven. In His name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the First Church Podcast. We hope you enjoyed the message for today. Be sure to check back next week or subscribe to the podcast by visiting our website at firstforchrist.com. That's first, the number 4, christ.com.